Family. It looks a little different for everyone. For some, it's mom and dad. For others, roommates who feel like family. And for others, it's your significant other, their golfing buddies, your children, a high school soccer team starting lineup, and oh look, they're all taking you up on the offer to stay for dinner. Really testing the limits of that phrase, the more the merrier. But no matter where you call home, GEICO makes it easy to bundle and save on home and car insurance. Easier than making 3 frozen pizzas and assorted frozen veggies into a cohesive meal.
Welcome to the Delvin Cox Experience. I'm your host, Delvin Cox, and with me today is my boy, Chalfie.
What's good?
What's up, brother? Return of the Mac, baby!
Told you, man, you know? I was on the Chalfie mic drop. Shit, nah, I think if you play like less than 15 seconds, you're all right. Or 10 seconds, you're good. So, yeah, man, I'm stoked. I'm glad to be back on talking with you, kind of chopping it up, man. You're my boy for sure, so anytime.
Definitely. I'm trying something new for the podcast today, so I'm going to start it with you.
All right.
And it's 5 questions that I'm going to give you to break the ice.
All right. You know what? That shit's funny, though, because I have plans to hijack your podcast, and I set up, like, 9 questions that I'm going to ask you.
I'm down with that too. We can do that back to back.
All right, let's go. Let's ride.
Your first question. Your favorite album this year?
Oh, that's easy. I have 2 of them. Rap, damn, Kendrick Lamar. Like, hands down, that album is flawless. I love a good concept album, and he's like a master at the concept album. I love how many musical shifts each track has. So it isn't just that same continuous beat he's writing. All of a sudden it's like a stick shift, man. Like, oh, he's fucking rapping. Then all of a sudden he's just like, watch me shift gears real quick. Beat shifts and he just rides. I mean, the kid's phenomenal. Like, and it took me a while. Like, at first, you know, I mentioned it a lot on my own podcast. I'm going to plug that real quick because I haven't fully introduced myself to everybody who might not know me. I'm Chalfie. You find me on Twitter at @ThatChalfie. I got a podcast with my partner, Sean. Our podcast is called Games We Don't Play because we're just a couple dads that really have no time to play any video games. On my podcast a lot, I mentioned that I'm quite the contrarian. I'm always like, oh, that's popular. I don't like it. And then eventually I do like it because then I just realize I'm being lame. But early Kendrick wasn't like my shit. You know, Good Kid, Mad City, I think because the first songs I had heard were like the swimming pool song or whatever. And I was like, it's good. But, you know, I like my raps real like hood, real raw, real like, if there's not like 25 N-words and like every other word is like the F-word, then I'm kind of like, I don't know, you know? I need that hard bass too.
I agree.
But yeah, Kendrick Lamar, damn, is my I can't stop listening to it. It's like my favorite rap album this year. And then on the rock end, because I'm all over the place. Like my range is like super wide. There's a group called Black Lips. And they came out with an album called Satan's Graffiti or God's Art. And that album is really good. It's very like garage rock with almost like a very like, I don't want to say like country, but there's like those elements in it. And just off the rip, like I am not a country and I am not a gospel person. Like those two genres, I'm like, get the fuck out with that. No, thank you. So both of those albums, those are like my top ones for this year. Next question.
Those are two good choices. Well, I'm going to listen to the second rock one.
I know Kendrick. Good.
Dope. Mm-hmm. Definitely. All right. Second question. Favorite 90s TV show?
Favorite 90s TV show? Damn. That's a lot.
It's a good one.
Yeah, fuck, dude. That's real hard. I mean, dude, you hit me. That's a tough one. I can't really, like, pick one because there was so much good stuff. Like, I guess as a young person, like, I was, like, wild into, like, your fucking, like, Small Wonders and shit like that. Family Matters was my jam. Wasn't really, like, a Full House guy. Also because I was like, oh, that show's for white people.
Funny thing about Full House. I like Fuller House better than I like Full House.
You know what? I'm off this podcast now because Fuller House is, like, one of the worst shows I've seen on TV. So thanks for having me on. Bye.
I didn't say it's great. Mm-hmm. I just say I like it better than Full House.
Okay. Okay. Is it because you can look at those young girls now and they're women so you don't feel weird?
Yeah, that's one of the main things.
Oh, damn. That's funny. No, but you know what else? Like, I was I got to give a huge shout out to Cops. Remember when Cops busted out on the scene?
Oh, Cops was awesome.
You know, I mean, everybody was watching Cops. Fucking Cops is still on now, and I'm like, wow, people still haven't learned. Like, fucking Cops was amazing, dude. But there was also, there was just, 90s was a great time for just, like, right, it's kind of like right before TV, like, fell apart. I mean, I feel like now we're in a new, like, resurgence, and there's a lot of great shit that's out there. You know, you have a lot of like weird variety going on, or like a lot of trying stuff. I mean, because I loved like Unsolved Mysteries. I loved, even though it was short lived. Remember, I think it was Steven Spielberg, or I don't know if it was George Lucas, had Amazing Stories, which are like these sort of weird vignettes. That's great. Yeah, like those were nuts. Like there was a lot of stuff out there. So it's like, that's hard for me to pinpoint, you know? I can tell you right now, like, and I'm glad it's back. I'm kind of stockpiling the seasons, but like, FX channel is killing it for me with that fucking like Atlanta. I think they're doing Preacher, right? Like they, Archer is amazing. Like there's a lot of good stuff now too, but 90s, dude, that's hard. That's hard.
The thing about the 90s that I always like was the fact that 90s TV shows, well, 80s for that matter too, are all over the place. Mm-hmm. They just came with the most ridiculous ideas and say, hey, let's make it a TV show.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, for example, that is Airwolf.
Yeah.
Let's make a TV show about a fucking helicopter catching bad guys.
Yeah. They were like, hey, you know, they made a show about a car that moves around. Fuck it, let's do a helicopter. Sure. Why not?
That's what it was. The Henderson's TV show, Alf.
Mm-hmm. Alf, 18, you know? And I remember being...
Nobody, it was just the TV shows.
Yeah. And, you know, like, because I've kind of always been a little bit of, like, a TV junkie. You know, I grew up in that era of, like, you know, when both of my parents were working. You know, I fucking first grade, and I had a key to the house, and it was just like, boom, get home, watch a gang of cartoons, like Scooby-Doo and fucking all that stuff. And then it was, like, Dukes of Hazzard, what was it like? Mutual of Omaha's, like, what was it like? Wild America or something like that? Like National Geographic? Like, I was just in front of the TV the whole time. I don't know how I got smart, but somehow I did because, yeah, it was just all TV all the time. But I think I'm more just smarter in like pop culture stuff than anything else.
Okay, third question.
Yes.
What's the funniest thing you've done as a kid?
Funniest thing I've done as a kid, man, that's hard. That's really stupidest, hard.
Stupid. Apply to Yes.
Okay. Stupidest thing. You know, I've always been a really like cautious person. Like I'll try to like think stuff out, but I'm going to give you a story. And this is kind of a shout out story too. Cause this is in reference to a cousin of mine who actually this past weekend was like the 10th year that he's like passed away, but we were like bros, you know, like, we're like only about a year or two apart. And, I'm out skateboarding with a buddy and cause that's like my shit is like skateboarding like forever. And so I was doing like a board slide and I fell and I fucking broke my arm like into like an S shape. Right. And so I look at my arm, I was like, damn, my friend Jim was like, hey, can you fix that? I was like, it's not even normal. Like, I can't fix this. So I skate all the way home. I get in the car. You know, my dad's ready to throw my skateboard in the trash because, you know, he's like, why do you want to like skate? This is like white boy shit. And I was like, it's awesome. And so then as we're driving into the hospital to get into the emergency, like the emergency was like weird because it was like under the hospital, almost as if it were like, you know, like when you look in the back of the stores and like the big semis park in the back and sometimes it drops down. Like that's how the emergency room was. So as we're going down the hill and I got my fucked up arm, my cousin is walking out of the hospital. He fucking jumped out of a tree and tried to like ambush a friend and fucking fell wrong and broke his wrist. And so we're both like going down the same way. And he's like, ah, fuck, look, I broke my arm. I was like, at that moment, I was like so stoked to have broken my arm with him, you know, because I was like, oh shit, we're like brothers fucking. And, you know, we did that whole thing like, man, that's crazy. That was like, you know, there was like a spirit that tried to like, that told us, hey, break your arm. And yeah, you break your arm too. And like, now we're like broken arm brothers. I mean, think in retrospect, think about it as an adult, like that's the dumbest shit I ever heard. But you know, you get hyped up off stuff like that when you're a kid, you know? So it's like that was a fun moment. Cause it was just like, I mean, who wants to be broken arm brothers? After a while, I was like, having a broken arm sucks. Like, it's all itchy.
Your dad probably hot. These kids are dumb as hell.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They're like, why are they all hyped up? We're like, yeah, fucking, I'm waving my broken arm out the car window. My cousin's like shaking his newly wrapped fist at me. Yeah, like I said, in retrospect, that was dumb. But yeah, you know, also a shout out to my cousin Gilbert. Like I said, 10 years, but that was my boy. That was my homie.
Shout out to Gilbert, definitely, man. RIP. Uh-huh. All right. Fourth question.
Yeah.
This is an easy one. This is a real easy one. Marvel or DC?
Okay. I am DC through and through because I was raised in that DC era. Like, right when, like, I'm a 70s kid. Like, I was born, like, 75. I'm also old as shit, too. So, fuck all y'all who want to complain about that. But it was, like, at that time, it was, like, Justice League, like the cartoons I was watching were all about like DC shit. So that's kind of what I was raised on. Yeah, Super Friends, all that stuff. It was like the best. Now, fast forward to now, Marvel movies are amazing. DC movies, I can't tolerate them. Like, I'm like, what is wrong with the world? Like, I don't know. They have all the potential to be great. And then there's a couple problems I have with the DC movies. Like, do they not understand there's a color wheel? Like, not everything has to be navy, black, and brown. Like, that is true. Like, you could add some flair because your characters do have color. Like, I remember getting those. I don't know if you remember back in the day, those, like, you would, and I don't even know if they still make them, but they would be like fat comic books that just gave you like the who's who. So it would be like, Aquaman, and it would give you like his stats and his abilities and a little bit of his background and who's his best friend. Do they still do that?
I think they still do that in Wizard and stuff like that.
You see, that's awesome if they still do. And so I was also really fortunate too, and this is going to sound super Mexican. I am Mexican, so I can say this. I have a cousin or an uncle who is only like 3 years older than me. And so he always got new shit. He was the dude who turned me on to everything. So he would go to like, you know, Compton swap meet, shit like that, and come back with new rap and be like, listen to this. Or he would say like, hey, I went to the comic book shop. You got to check this shit out. And he got me on that like pop culture tip like really early. And so he would just, and he would always give me stuff. Like, he wasn't like, hey, read this and give it back. He was just like, here's this comic book. Here's this thing. Watch this movie. You know, so that was really, really cool. And so he got me hip to those books. And it was always DC shit. But, man, that stuff was awesome. I loved it. So DC for, like, just that's what I was raised on. But Marvel, because those movies are the shit, dude. Like, they're even their wackest movies are still really good in comparison. You know, like, it's like, you know, a whack Marvel movie is like a 7. But a good DC movie is like a 5.5. You know, I mean, that, even that, what's the one everyone hate? Which Iron Man did everyone hate? Was that 3 or 2? Okay. Yeah, there's some hinky stuff in there, but compared to a DC movie, it's not bad. Like, you know, there's some, yeah, that's illogical, but for the most part, it's entertaining, you know? And I do, you know, I do like that type of action movie too, where I can turn off my brain and I'm like, listen, I don't give a fuck about plot holes right now. I want to see shit like get blown up. You know, I want to see things like, I want to see someone get punched in the face and but still get up. You know, like that. I'm fine with that. You know, so Marvel movies, killing it, man. Keep doing what you're doing. You see the new Spider-Man yet?
Definitely.
What'd you think? No spoilers, but how did you feel?
A Spider-Man?
Mm-hmm.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, incredible. Not amazing?
It's probably the... trying to think how to word it. It's probably the best Spider-Man movie. Yeah, probably the best Spider-Man movie, period.
Mm-hmm. No, it was really, really good. And I went to go see, I actually just saw it like this past Sunday with a friend. We both took our boys to go with us. And what I love about the current Marvel movies is that they are like chapters in a comic book series. Like, all the movies dance around each other in a way that it's not over your head. It isn't just like, and continued in the next saga, but there might be a video clip on a TV in the background, or then we might see someone moving in a certain way where you're like, oh shit, that's that guy. Remember we saw him? You know, so there's always enough to be like, if you are that really hardcore fan, it's going to give you a lot because you know stuff. But at the same time, if you're someone who, like, you know, you're just like, I just like these movies because they're fun and they're action, you could still enjoy it too. So they're so accessible. But the way they link their stories together, man, it's a great job.
Definitely, definitely. Okay, the final question I got for you.
All right.
One that you're going to definitely appreciate.
All right.
Especially for Sean. Big Bang, good or trash?
It's trash, man. That's the most trashiest of trash shows. I don't even know why they're doing a fucking spinoff. If you can't hear it in my voice right now, that shit makes me angry. Fuck everyone who likes Big Bang. You heard it. Get at me. Come on. Tweet me. At that Chalpy. I'll still tell you the same thing. Big Bang, man. Big Bang garbage. Hate you. That whole thing. But you know what? Big Bang guys, get your money. You're getting paid. Fuck yeah. So that's it in a nutshell. I don't need to say anything else. Don't get me hot. I'm trying to enjoy this podcast.
All right, I think it's time for the questions you have for me now.
All right, so everybody, welcome to the At That Chalfie Experience with my guest. Delvin. We have Delvin Cox on right now. So Delvin.
What's up?
I listen to your podcast. I'm always hearing you talk to everybody. You know, I love that you really, you have that good dialogue, you know? Who your persona is on social media comes off like really friendly, really funny, really nice, really compassionate. And then when I listen to your podcast, you're giving the same thing. Like, you're a real dude, man. And that's awesome. But you're always talking to everybody else. So I think it's time to talk about you a little bit. So tell us.
That's cool.
Who are you? What do we need to know about Delvin?
Oh, that's a good question. I am kind of an idiot savant or an idiot.
Okay. Depends on how you say it. You asking your wife about this?
Well, that's what she probably would say. I kind of do everything, man. I'm building up this podcast thing right now. I have two podcasts right now, the Mike Drop podcast and the Delvin Cox Experience. With the Delvin Cox Experience being more of a personal podcast where I talk to my friends and talk to people and get their side and takes on things. And I'm also running the website, which is named the Delvin Cox Experience, now that I'm kind of building up myself. I'm talking about everything that I love. It's literally everything that I love on the website. Whether it's pop culture, you can go there and look for stuff like stuff about the new Black Panther movie coming out.
Or the new Jay-Z album, which we're going to talk about later.
Yeah, the new Jay-Z album, definitely. Basically anything. And it's one of those things I'm trying to build up. I wanted to build up to be a community. I don't necessarily have to hear all that bullshit. And anything they want to talk about, any topic they want to talk about, they can feel free to talk about it because that's how I am. I'm the type of person, anybody who knows, you know, I'm the type of person who can talk about literally anything, whether it's wrestling, hip-hop, rock, pop culture, movies, podcasts, and for that matter, the website to kind of be that as well.
Yeah, no, and that definitely comes through too. So those, some of those things you just mentioned are going to come through in these questions. Where are you from?
I am from Miami, Florida. To be specific, I am from Liberty City, Miami, Florida. And for those...
Born and raised?
Born and raised.
Damn.
And for those who don't know, Liberty City, Miami, Florida is much like Liberty City and Grand. It's rough to say.
Please. Yeah, you know, because I'm familiar with with Liberty City too. I've heard it mentioned in a few different podcasts.
Because it's like if you ever watch the Nets, they're gonna make Liberty, Carroll City, Miami Gardens, a Coconut Grove. So with that knowledge alone, you should know the area that you probably should not go to in Miami.
Now, what part of Miami was, I know I'm going to screw it up right now. Was it Moonlight?
Liberty City.
That's Liberty City?
Yes.
Now, is that from just the environment, is that a good representation of the area?
Yeah, pretty much. It's pretty accurate to say, at least Moonlight is a pretty accurate representation of Miami for that matter.
Really?
It's very well done, to say the least.
Yeah.
In terms of like how the hood is in Miami, people are in Miami, and the fact where, you know, I don't want to say too many spoilers about Moonlight. For those who haven't seen it, watch the movie, but.
Oh, it's a brilliant movie. Really go see it.
And the situation that happened in the movie, you have happening in places like Miami a lot. And people don't really,
you know,
realize that.
And it's something I always wonder about whenever I see a movie about, like, I'm out here in Long Beach, which is just, you know, 20 minutes out of Los Angeles, but we're a big fucking city too. But whenever I see big cities in movies, you know, that's one of the first things I think is like, is this what it's really like out there? Or is this the romanticized version or the ultra grimy version? 'Cause you know, like even where I live now, like, yeah, I'm in a very suburban part of town, but if you went to the other side of like you went to like the North Long Beach area, it's hood, like a super hood. Like you listen to Vince Staples songs and you know he's rapping about, you know, Northside Long Beach. It's an accurate depiction. You know, when you see just, you know, even if it's comedy, even like Friday and shit like that, where it's supposed to be like South Central, like it's not a, even though it's humorous, it's not a far-fetched depiction. You know, it's people kicking it in their front yards, riding their bikes, fucking jacking each other for whatever. And you can get by day to day, but, you know, just kind of don't come out at night type of shit, you know? But I just always wonder, like, what's the reality and what's the fiction? So I'm glad to hear that that is kind of like a close or a good representation of the area. Yeah. Good, good. Now, you got a family. How many kids you got?
Two. I have two kids, a boy and a girl. So damn. I can stop.
That's crazy for black people. How you only have two?
This is very true. I only have two kids, both from the same woman, and I am married to that woman.
So wait, what?
I have broken every stereotype that you could possibly think of. And I'm not that big of a fan of fried chicken, believe it or not.
Oh, damn. You, man, you know what?
I hate watermelon. But I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's fucked up, dude. Like, how? No. Watermelon is so delicious. I went to the Mexican market the other day so I can get some agua fresca. And I got the watermelon water. Fuck, dude. That shit slapped so hard. It was the best.
I'll drink some coconut water. I'm not drinking the watermelon water.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. So so you got the two. How old are your kids?
My son, Delvin, is 11, and my daughter, Brianna, is 9 years old.
Hmm. Okay. So you got one going into middle school already, right?
Yeah, my son's going to middle school.
Crazy. Yeah, because I got a my son just turned 9 on the 4th of July, and our daughter is...
Your birthday, Tim.
Yeah, yeah. I'll pass it along. And then our daughter is, she's 5. So she's going into kindergarten. So I still got little ones, but we started later because I was like, I'm still about this partying life. So we're not trying to start shit early. So I broke the stereotype too, because I didn't have my kids until I was like in my 30s. I wasn't trying to do that shit at like 17. Now, tell me a little bit about your wife. I know there's a lady in the background. How did you meet your wife?
Whew, that's an interesting story.
Yeah.
I was her boss.
Oh, snaps.
Well, I wasn't the store manager. I was the assistant manager at a restaurant. Mm-hmm. Not really a restaurant. Einstein Bagels. I'm just calling what it was.
I know Einstein.
Yeah. It's crazy because I think I told a little bit of this story on the last Mic Drop podcast. Yeah, I think I did, matter of fact. Well, long story short, I'll get more into it, matter of fact. What happened was I was her boss, and from the first moment I laid eyes on her, I kind of knew that maybe this was the one.
Yeah.
And when I first asked her out, she straight up told me no.
Damn.
And to get more specific, for those who doesn't know, my wife is Spanish. She's Nicaraguan.
Uh-huh.
And to get more specific, she told me no, I don't date black guys.
So how did you win her over, man? How did you like show her like, nah, man, I'm legit?
It's funny. I don't know.
You're like, I don't ask. She's here now. I'm with her. It's good. I don't know how it fucking worked out.
It was funny because like what happened was we would always joke around when we was at work and stuff like that. Einstein Bagels, I don't want to put them out there on blasting like that, but it's the type of place where if you're a hard worker there, they close it. When I work, they just close it like 5 o'clock. Uh-huh. You can get all your stuff done at like around 3 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
Literally everything. So you basically have 2 hours to chill out.
Uh-huh.
So me and her will usually work the closing shift with my other buddy. And we get everything done like around 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And so we just be chilling till closing time. Cause the thing about it is, you know, from 3 to 5, nobody really was in there.
Yeah, because it's a morning spot.
Yeah, and not only that, everybody, like, around 5 o'clock is when everybody starts getting off work.
Mm-hmm.
So usually when we're locking the doors, people will be coming towards the door, like, we're already closed.
Yeah, that's a pretty legit deal, too, though, because then you still get to, like, have your evening.
Oh, that's the best. I'll get to that story later. But maybe... Because I was like, I want to say when I started working there, I was probably in my early 20s.
Okay.
And I was single. And I was an assistant manager. So you can read.
You were living that.
So you can read very much well into that. And I was working in Coral Gables. And for those who don't know, Coral Gables is kind of the high class area of Miami.
Okay.
So I was making pretty decent money.
Mm-hmm.
With virtually no responsibilities, my rent was $400 a month.
Yeah, so then you're good. You're like, I got gas money, I got going out money. I can still go out tonight and not be like, I kind of had it similar too, you know, where I had a good job early on and I didn't have to worry about my nights. You know, I just had to make sure I got up in the morning. But it was like, whereas a lot of my friends were like, oh, dude, I can only go out on like Thursday. You know, it's like, oh shit, I can go out any day. My nights are free.
And this was the craziest thing about it. My work schedule was 3:30 in the morning to 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Damn.
Those are like when I work the morning shifts. Mm-hmm. The afternoon shift, it was like 9 to 5 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So when I worked the morning shift, even when I got off, I still had like a whole day to myself.
Yeah, you're like, no big deal. That's enough time that if you wanted to party hard enough, you just, because you're young, so you have the stamina to like ride it out and then be like, well, I'll go home and sleep for like 2 hours and then still get to go out.
And that's what I used to do. I literally was like, not to brag on myself, because there's nothing to brag about whatsoever, because I damn sure couldn't do this now if I was single.
Oh,
I was kind of like the George Clooney. that area.
This whole city is the George. You know what? Shut up. Lying ass. How you gonna, lie on your own podcast? How you gonna lie?
It's funny because like I will constantly be dating all these girls. Because one of the reasons why, it was a Starbucks right next door to the Einstein Bagels. Mm-hmm. And nothing but pretty girls worked there.
You see, that's why your wife didn't want to date you. She was like, this motherfucker's on the streets hooking up with all these bitches.
Saw a little bit
I'm not going to be another one of them. Nah.
Probably saw a little bit of that. So I would constantly be dating. And I was never an asshole or a jerk about it. Like, I would never be sitting there being all braggadocious and nothing like that. But
I had like 10 hoes last night. Shit was crazy. Like, no.
But I would constantly be dating these girls from these other locations and stuff. And it kind of, I had a bachelor pad.
Uh-huh.
And that's straight up what it was.
Nice.
Worked in a great place. I had a bachelor pad, worked in a great place. I worked with my friends, because a lot of my friends ended up working there for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was all hard workers. So we'd get off work and go straight to the club.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when you have like your boys working with you. Because I know the same thing too. Like at the place where I met my wife, similar, we worked together. I was at the time I was like a classroom aide and a playground aide, and she was just a playground aide, but I had all my buddies working there too. And they were like, oh yeah, you should talk to that girl. She's cool. And then, you know, over time we started hanging out, but, yeah, you get your buddies with you. And then it's just like, after you're done doing the work day, you're like, cause my apartment was the hangout spot. So then it'd be like, oh, let's all go over to his place. Fucking eat some pizza real quick, and then we'll go screw around, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was. And we'll getting back to the store with me and my wife, all of us end up going out bowling together.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my friends and her friends. And she got tore down drunk.
Oh, dang.
In the whole night. And those who may not know, I don't drink at all.
Okay.
I'm not a drinker. Mm-hmm. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I'm like CM Punk, but I don't have nothing to tell it. So, and then she got tore down drunk. She was driving me crazy and stuff. She would flirt with me. And then I was like, this girl's driving me crazy. I wouldn't bother with her. Then the next day, she was like, let's go out on that date.
Really?
Yeah. Dang,
maybe because you didn't take advantage of her. She's like, you know what? This guy's all right.
Yeah, that's probably what it was. So what ended up happening was I picked up to date. And the thing about it is I want to say a couple weeks earlier, I got in a serious car accident. And my car was fucked up. I had a 1996 Mazda 929,
mm-hmm.
which was pretty fast.
Oh, yeah, you were a baller then. You got the good job. You got the good car.
Yeah. Yeah, but what happened was when I got in the accident, the whole back of the car was gone.
Damn.
Literally, the whole back of the car. So
what
I'm
happened? Did someone
up,
just like rear-end you or clip you?
They clipped me. And okay. I was on the expressway, and the car spun around because it was raining, and I ran into hit the wall.
Damn. That's crazy.
And then when the cop showed up, he was like, oh, you need medical attention and stuff like that? No, I'm good. I'm just going to drive it home. I just said it. I'm like, nah, leave me alone. I want a tow truck, no nothing. I'll drive it home. I fix it myself. Leave me alone.
You're like, let's keep this off the books.
Yeah, because I was like, I don't want to be dealing with this stuff. I don't need no police.
Mm-hmm.
So I had no back. Literally.
Damn.
And she... And to her credit, she was all for it. We went to the movies, and I remember the movie like it was yesterday, because it was probably the worst movie I ever seen in my life.
What's that?
Alien Resurrection.
That's a pretty rough one.
I literally sat there. I don't know why the fuck I picked that movie. I don't know what the hell happened.
You know why you picked it? Because it was hyped up like crazy. Because I remember seeing it with a couple of my buddies, and we were like, man, this movie's going to be, it's going to be the best. You remember Alien? You remember Aliens? Like, it was all that nostalgia got the better of us. Because I remember walking out of the movie theater going like, what was that? Like, that was not the series I remember.
I think you're right.
So it was just, it was nostalgia. That nostalgia is a motherfucker, dude. It'll get you. It makes you actually, shit blind you.
I think you're actually right. I think that's what happens. Because I may have watched all of 5 minutes of that fucking movie. Then I made out with her, fell asleep during the movie.
Damn.
Woke up, made out with her some more.
That's funny. That is funny. Yeah. How many years you and your wife been together?
Wow.
Well, I guess you say since 96, then fucking like 21 years.
No, it wasn't since 96. We started dating in like 2000. No, Carl was 96.
Carl was 96. Not you.
I want to say 2004.
Okay.
So almost like 13, 14 years, I want to say. Probably more than that.
Yeah, did you say in 2004? Yeah, then we're looking at like 13 years, 2017 now. You guys had your anniversary this year?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, then you're hitting like the 13-year mark.
Yeah.
Now, just out of curiosity, this wasn't one of my questions, but just thinking about it. Do you spend a lot of time with your wife? And what I mean by that is, like, my wife and I have pretty much been together since like 2000. And what I mean by that is, like, we've never really been apart. Like, we've never done the makeup breakup thing. We've pretty much been together like every day. I think we've only been apart like twice in the years we've been together, because I've had to go to like a work conference. But we're a gang, man. Like, my wife and I, ride or die, we're always together. And then our kids are kind of the same way too. Like, it's always the four of us doing stuff together. We're not really like fragmented, you know?
Yeah, we've pretty much been together the whole time. I don't think there's never been a part where we've actually been apart more than a day. Even when we got mad at each other, we had our arguments, we had our rough patches.
Yeah.
It wasn't never like,
well, yeah, I'm staying at my boy's house for 3 days. Type of thing.
No. It was like, I'll stay at my mom's house for 45 minutes to an hour. Then she calls me back and I end up going back home. At the end of the night.
Yeah. And then you're like, everything's good. Good, man. I would say, man, I'm glad to be learning more about you. Yeah. Now, let's slide in a different direction. Because, like, you know, you kind of mentioned earlier, and I totally noticed it too, and I think this is why we kind of click as well, is like being able to pop in and out of conversations that might be music, might be gaming, might be movies, might be might be a lot of different things, but you got enough knowledge to get yourself through the conversation and add to the conversation. How did you get into like the gaming and like pop culture? Because I think there's a difference, and I don't know what year you were born or like what decade is like kind of the decade you grew up in, but at least I know from being like a Mexican kid, like everything I did was always like, oh, that's white boy shit. Why do you skateboard? That's white boy shit. Why do you listen to rock? That's white boy shit. You know, so I kind of had to, if it wasn't for like that one specific uncle I was talking about and another cousin of mine who like surfed and was like into like metal, those two kind of really shaped me and kind of gave me that, like, it's okay to like stuff that's not just white t-shirts and Dickies, you know?
So how did I become knowledgeable of everything that I have? I know now, at least, you're talking about?
Yeah, like what sparked it culture? For you? Yeah, like what was just like, I'm into this, like I'm down with this.
It's so many different things. I can't even name, like, for example, when I was a kid, and even to this day, I've always loved cartoons. Like, in terms of like Speed Racer, I love Speed Racer. I love the Transformers. And one of the things that first really got me into like cartoons, even more, let me know how big and important cartoons was in my life, is the 86 Transformers the movie.
That was a phenomenon, man.
That's my that's literally my favorite movie of all time. And it's a specific reason why it's my favorite movie of all time. Because it's the first movie I remember my father ever taking me to.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah. And since I was born, my mom and my dad never been together. They was around when my brother was born, but they divorced shortly after I was born.
Now, just you and your brother? Or you got more siblings?
I got a brother and a little sister, older brother and a little sister. And she wasn't around at the time, but what happened was my dad used to always take us to movies. And this was, like I said, this was in the 80s. So when you go to the movies, you'll pay to see one movie and you can stay there the whole day and watch all the movies.
Oh, yeah.
That's just how it was. So that's how I got to some movies like Mannequin and Big Trouble in Little China and The Last Dragon, because we literally were just like, we would see a movie that was there for us.
Yeah.
He would take us to go see that movie. We'd leave that movie, buy more popcorn, no matter what it was.
Yeah. And I remember they used to like arrange the theater day too, where it would be like you'd get a ticket for a movie, and then they'd be like, okay, like how you said, like it would be like Mannequin, Weekend at Bernie's, and Can't Buy Me Love, you know, and those three movies would be stacked against each other, and it wasn't just like one theater rolls one, or one, you know, room rolls one movie all day. It was like, no, we know you're buying a ticket. We know you're going to kick it here for like 6 hours. These are the three movies you should watch together. Or here, you're going to watch Beetlejuice, Edward Scissorhands, and something else. Here's a ticket for that. And you just, that was your room like for the day. And you pop out in the intermission, get your popcorn, get your soda, and you were good. So I totally know what you're talking about. Yeah, that was really a thing.
And you know, it played a big part of my life because of that experience. You know, now when you go see a movie, you're going to see that specific movie. But back then, since you're going to the movies all day, you would see all kind of movies that you necessarily wouldn't necessarily pay to see. Like, for example, I wouldn't have paid to see Mannequin.
Yeah.
But I got the experience from it. And, you know, it kind of helped mold me.
Yeah.
To the person who I am, because it gave me a love for all things pop culture, in terms of like, I could watch The Breakfast Club and love that movie. Then I could watch Aliens and enjoy that movie. Then I could watch something like Forrest Gump and appreciate things about Forrest Gump because I've seen so many different movies, and matter of fact, TV shows for that matter, that was so different and things like that. It kind of helped mold me to who I am.
Yeah.
And you know, and back then, those soundtracks for those movies were mostly rock songs and pop songs. There wasn't that many movies, unless you're watching stuff like Breakin' or Beat Street or The Last Dragon.
You only got one of those like maybe once a year, maybe once every other year. But yeah, your Breakin's, your Beat Streets, shit like that. Like, you weren't getting it a lot.
But you wasn't getting hip-hop themed movies.
Yeah.
So most of the movies you would see would have rock soundtracks.
Yeah.
And it would be like either rock, heavy metal, or pop soundtracks. So you would hear these songs like, oh, this is catchy.
Yeah.
So that's how I would get into songs like, you know, Sweet Dreams Are Made of These and things like that, because it's what I would hear.
Yeah. And that's what, and I don't know, I mean, because, you know, growing up in California is a little bit different, but like, that's also what was reflected on the radio. You know, you either had like really, really like pop, pop, pop music, but there was no like urban station. You know, you weren't.
That also, what got me into hip hop more when I was younger, and this pertains to LA and California. My uncle was a huge Digital Underground fan.
Nice.
He was a huge Digital Underground, NWA, and an Ice Cube fan. So every time I would get in the car with him, that's all he would play. And I was like, probably like 8, 9, 7, 8, 9, 10. So all I would hear was the sounds of Dr. Dre, Ice Cube, Digital Underground and hearing Tupac and stuff like that on a Digital Underground song. I'm like, huh, you dope. This is me, like, this is what I came up listening to. I didn't really come up listening to East Coast music that much till I got, I want to say 12, 13.
Mm-hmm.
Because all my uncle who listened to hip-hop, who was heavy in hip-hop and inspired me to listen it, and even one day do hip-hop, will listen to is West Coast music. Your MC8s, your E40s, people like that. So
yeah, you see, and that's the weird shift for me too, is that, like, I'm as California as they come, in particular Southern California. Like, I will never leave Southern California. Like, I love every element about it, and I'm, like, ingrained in it. But I was raised on that old school New York rap. Like, that's my shit. Fucking Boogie Down Productions, like, Eric B. Rakim. Like, that's what my uncle was passing along to me. But he also took me on that journey, too, where he would give me the, like, you remember Magic Mike? The, like, bass head in Miami. Like, he got me turned on to that too, where it was just like, damn, this is sick, because it's not even rapping, it's just like beat, fucking a la like Africa Bambaataa type of Zulu Nation type of shit, where it's just like they might say the same phrase over and over, but it was that beat that had you writing. And then he would take me in different direction, like, this is some Detroit shit, this is some, like, Houston stuff, and here's some stuff they're playing in Northern California. And so it's like you can really take that cultural ride. So even with the being the hip hop and rap umbrella, those pockets are so distinctly different. It isn't just everyone's rapping the same, you know? So I totally feel you on that, because then when I started getting exposed to that, it was just like, I guess it's always a feeling of like peeking behind the curtain. So then when I'd be like, listening to different types of rap or different types of rock, then it was always like, but what's this one over here? Let me check that one out. Oh, that shit's crazy. Oh, you know, let me check out this other band because they're a little harder. They're a little more punk. Let me see what they're like. So always that still hungry for what's different, what's new, what else can I appreciate along the way? So I totally feel you on that. Like, and it's good to always have that person in your life who's going to be like, peep this shit. You might like it, you know?
And to kind of talk about what we talked about earlier with the movies, I got into East Coast hip hop in a sense because of movies like Crush Groove and Breakin' and Beat Street, because who would I hear on those movies? Curtis Blow,
right.
The Fat Boys.
Fat Boys, Run DMC.
LL Cool J.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know these guys had albums.
Yeah, you did the shit in reverse.
Exactly. I didn't know these guys had albums whatsoever. I just would hear them from these movies. And back then, these movies would play on regular TV all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I would see these movies and hear these songs like, oh, this is dope. And that's how I got into hip-hop, to say more or less. And, you know, as I got older, I started listening to people like Nas, Rakim, KRS-One, Biggie, Tupac. And it kind of molded me to my love for hip-hop.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of comic books are a little different, because when I was younger, and this kills me to this day, my great-grandfather passed away, and he had a huge collection of comic books.
Damn, really?
It was a great collection, and he gave them all to me.
Damn, that's sick.
And the collection, and I wish I had this collection today. Unfortunately, they burnt down in the house fire. But this yes, this collection had the first issue of Spider-Man, the first issue of Fantastic Four. It had nothing but first issues of almost any good comic book you could think of. X-Men number one. And I used to read them.
And that's crazy too, that he hopped on that. Like, that's nuts. Because that's so unheard of at that time, you know?
He bought them at that time when they was coming out.
Yeah.
He just kept them. That was his collection. Uh-huh. He just kept them. He never thought about them. And these books nowadays would go for a lot of money.
Yeah, no joke.
I never knew it. I would just read them every day, like with nothing. Like, X-Men number one, I constantly read it. Oh, this is dope. And that got me into my love for comic books, because even when that when our house burnt down with those books in it, me being a kid, my grandmother used to take me to the flea market that was in Miami Beach. It was like a trade show that used to come to Miami Beach, and they would have sell comic books there. They would sell more than comic books, mm-hmm. but that was what I went there for. And I would go there and buy a whole bunch of comic books. And the cool thing about it, they didn't just have like regular comic books, like you had your Spider-Mans and your Batmans, your Supermans, but then they had stuff like Ghost Rider.
Okay.
And then they had stuff like that was completely left that I didn't know nothing about, like mangas.
Uh-huh.
I just thought they were comic books, but they had mangas, like one I used to always read and I still love to this day called Fist of the North Star. You ever heard of that?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I've seen the movie.
They had a comic book for it. And I was so interested in it because it was so violent.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was so cool to get into stuff like that. Let me know anime and stuff like.
And that's kind of like, what I was saying earlier, you know, it's like, it keeps you like, well, what else is there? Let me open this door. Let me peel back this curtain. Let's see what that other thing is. Because like one of the things I always think of is like, you know, I always think, I still haven't heard the best song I've ever heard, because there's still so many albums I've never heard. There's, you know, it might not have been made yet. It might still be out there laying in some like crate somewhere, but that's why I keep looking, because I find good shit along the way, but I know there's something out there more that I'm still going to appreciate, you know? And so it's like how you're saying with the comic books too, where you're like, well, let me peel back this other layer. Let me go from your traditional comic book form to like some manga to graphic novel. You know what I mean? Like you keep hopping and just absorb that knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, you're getting right into me, man. This is a lot of stuff you're getting out of me. I like it. I'm enjoying it. More questions.
You know, stuff we don't know. Awesome. All right. So let's keep it moving a little bit. Gaming wise, because, you know, that's kind of where we first kicked off too, or, you know, even our own dialogue is, you know, game talk. What's your like earliest gaming memory?
Oh, I can tell you that easy. I remember that like yesterday. My first video game console I ever played was ColecoVision.
Nice. That was a good one.
ColecoVision.
Were you sliding the little things so your controller did different stuff?
Yep. And the first game I played on it was the Smurfs the game.
Oh, tight. Yes. I was just about to say. Yeah. And then everyone played Smurfs. Smurfs was fun.
That was fun.
Yeah. It was a simple platformer. And I remember back in the day, because Coleco was such a huge jump from like the 2600. You know, it was just like graphically, it was like amazing. Because you were moving now from like the box that had two other boxes attached to it as the graphics. And now you had like what appeared to be a character walking. And was like two tones, you know. It's like, oh, this is nuts, you know. And he's in an environment. Yeah, dude, that system was awesome.
And it was cool because when I got my first system, it was an Atari 2600.
Mm-hmm.
I had an Atari 2600, and I think if I'm correct, when I finally got it, it was outdated. So all the stuff for it was really cheap, so I had a whole bunch of Atari 2600 games,
mm-hmm.
including E.T.
Yes. Yeah, me too. Right now I have a box that like an ex-girlfriend's grandma like was like, hey, do you want this box? And I opened it up and it had, number one, side, a brand new unopened box that had the NES Advantage, remember the joystick?
Oh, that was awesome. I used to love that joystick. Yeah.
And then it had two Atari 2600s, and then it had this like case that like you set the 2600 on top of it, and then it had pull out drawers that held all your cartridges. And
I think I had that,
and it was cool. And so I have E.T., Strawberry Shortcake, there's like a Popeye on there, Pole Position, There's like, she gave me the two plus all the controllers plus that thing. And like, I want to say there's like 30 games in there. And she was just like, it's just taking space in my garage. Now, this was a down-ass grandma though. Because let me tell you, she had, as most grandmas do, you know, that little food tray table thing that you put on in front of you. And then yes, you just eat and watch TV. But hers, this lady was G, because this was like 97, 95-ish. And she had on there, well, she had an NES. And she played, what was the racing game on the NES that everyone had?
It was Pro-Am, I think, was one of them.
No, wasn't it? It was kind of like the Cruising USA type of game. Damn, I'm going to fucking Google that right now.
NES had some, woo, interesting racing games.
Rad Racer.
That's what it was.
Rad Racer. And so every night before she went to bed, she played an hour of Rad Racer. And then, and I was like, damn, this lady is awesome. So she had, basically, she was just giving me her old system because she had upgraded to an NES. And I was like, damn, this lady's tight.
Why did this lady play Mario?
Her shit was Rad Racer, dude. So that was, I would say that too. She would play Mario. Like, she had other games, but it was just Rad Racer was her shit. And I think it was just always like trying to get further and further. Some of those levels were hard. Yeah. But, yeah, dude, I totally feel you on those first gaming memories. Now, another first. What was, like, your first concert?
Oh, that was recently.
What? Man.
I told you the story.
Oh, shit, you know what? I think you did.
My first concert was the Bad Boy Reunion Tour.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because I remember flipping my lid when you said that online, and I was like, I don't even know you.
That was my first concert.
That's crazy, dude. That so blows my... How did you not go to a concert before that?
Because a lot of concerts just didn't come to Miami. And the ones that did, I never wanted to go to.
Yeah. You know what? I do remember asking you that. Because then I heard an interview recently. I don't remember who they were talking to. But they were saying, like, whoever the artist was, I think it might have even been, like, Danny Brown, was like, he never goes to Miami because nobody goes to Miami. Like, it's like nobody goes there. You hit the other cities, but for some reason that just isn't the place. And it's because they can't compete. There's always something happening in Miami that it's more about the nightlife and other stuff. And he's like, nobody will go to shows. And so when he got the opportunity to go to shows, to do a show there, it was like super hyped up because people came out. And it was like, because people are hungry for live shows. They do want to see it. They don't want to have to drive upstate or out of state to go see a band, you know? But yeah, I remember hearing that. So how was it? So how was that for you going to see a live show? Because that must have been a really sick show too.
It was, I'll put it to you this way. It's two events that I will always remember in my life in terms of events I've went to. Mm-hmm. One is WrestleMania 29. No, it's 28, I think it was. Where John Cena fought The Rock for the first time. That was down here in Miami.
Uh-huh.
I went to that one. I will always remember that like yesterday, every match to that. The other one is the Bad Boy Reunion Tour, because Bad Boy played such a huge part of my life. And it was so awesome to see all these people like Mace, uh-huh, Puff Daddy. Say what you want to about Puff Daddy. Puff Daddy is probably one of the greatest entertainers of our time.
Yeah.
In terms of, he got all these acts together that probably shouldn't have worked.
Oh yeah.
Like Lil Kim, Craig Mack, Notorious Big. The one who probably should have worked out of all of them was probably Mace.
Mm-hmm.
Because look at Notorious Big. He even said to himself, fat and ugly as ever.
Yeah.
Craig Mack. Yeah. These guys did not necessarily have these.
These were not your handsome, suave men. These were some grimy motherfuckers. Like,
grimy street dudes.
Yeah. If I saw like Biggie walking down the street, I wouldn't be like, oh, that guy, he's got skills. I'd be like, that dude's scary.
Yeah, that dude's gonna probably rob you. That's what you're probably thinking.
Yeah. I'm like, nope. I agree. I think it's true. As much as a person might not like Puffy, and I have my qualms with them too, because he's of the era when I fell out of love with rap and hip hop because I didn't like the vanity rap. Like it wasn't for me. But I'm not going to lie. Like fucking, when I'm hearing the music being played, like, dude, fucking, like, what was that jam with 112 where it was like Mace?
Only You?
Yeah. Yo, come on. That song's a jam. Like, yeah. Hands down. You know, it's, and if and it, and it's hot, it was hot then, and you play that now, if that song came out new today, it would be the top. It would be number one. It would. Biggie shit dropping any year from now to the future to then will still be tops. It's amazing. It's well crafted. And that's where Puffy comes off as a visionary. Like, he's like, don't worry, I got this. I believe in me, so ride with me. You know, and he's that's a smart fucking dude, man. He has the foresight to really dust off some gems and make them shine.
The best way I describe them, Bad Boy is they are hip hop Motown.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Point
blank. The hip hop Motown.
And that's what that tour was too. I mean, you know, whereas back in the day it was like Marvin Gaye, the Supremes, Jackson 5, all kind of doing these little tours together. The same idea, you know? So you're totally right, yeah.
Yeah, man. So it was memorable seeing that, kind of like reliving my childhood in the sense where I get to see guys I grew up listening to and enjoying, hearing songs like It's All About the Benjamins and Only You that you mentioned, and hearing Faith sing again, and it brought back a lot of memories.
Yeah, that's a good treat. And especially when they do it well, because one thing I've sort of sworn off is doing any I go to a lot of concerts, a lot of fucking concerts. Oh. And and I kind of swore off reunion shows because they were just, and this speaks more to like rock reunion shows. I always felt like they were just like phoning it in. They weren't trying. They weren't like trying to be like bring you back to that time. It was just really felt like, hey, we're just here to collect a check. We don't care if you like this or not, you know? But when I've gone to a few like hip hop reunion shows, that fire's still there. Like they're still like,
they're just great. They
want this, you know? So I hear you. I've watched a lot of
live shows and I think they usually be great. I wanna, if I ever get a chance, I probably wanna go see Chuck D perform.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I definitely want to see Nas.
Yeah. I've seen Nas, and to hear him live as a lyricist is amazing. Like just there's just those people when they're like flowing words together and just like that's artistry, man. Like that's lyrical painting, you know, instead of just like spitting words. You know, and I can appreciate it from all ends, from the guys who can really like stitch words together to the guys who just fucking, you know, like Designer just saying Panda over and over. I'm like, it's still party. So let's shift gears a little bit. Let's see. Question for you. When's the last time you had to tell someone to chill the fuck out? Because you seem even keel. So I'm like, when's the last time you had to tell someone like, hey, you just, aside from your kids, where you're like, you know what, you better stop it.
I'm trying to think. Well, I've told them while I was actually visibly angry at them.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while. I tell Rusty Rages. I don't know if you know who Rusty Rages. I tell him all the time. I literally treat him like he's my little brother. I yell at him all the time. Like, what are you doing, bro?
Wait, wasn't he just your like Twitter romance or Twitter crush today or something like that?
Yeah. Like, what the fuck is this? you can ask him. If he hears this, he'll probably laugh at it. I am constantly direct messaging him like, what the fuck are you doing?
That's funny, man.
You probably should be people. You probably, because he's a good kid. He's trying to do the podcast thing. He's trying to do things. He's trying to bring yourself to life. So I'm always willing to help people like that.
Yeah, nurture.
But I already tell him. I try to nurture him. I always told him, I'm going to give you tough love. Mm-hmm. You're doing some dumb shit. I'm like, hey, you're doing some dumb shit. Stop it.
Yeah, like I'm just trying to help out where I can. Well, so on that note too, because that dovetails nicely into my next question. Because, you know, you're saying like kind of trying to help someone out. What is like your favorite like like being a dad is tight moment where you're like, damn, this is not only a memory for my kids, but this is a memory for me, like solidifying your role as a dad and that you're like proud of it.
I don't know. It's hard to pin one moment down because it's so many things that I can look at and be proud of them for. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, I love the fact that my kids love everything that I love.
Mm-hmm.
Including my daughter.
It feels great.
Yeah. It's cool to see my daughter, especially my daughter in a sense, because, you know, your sons usually tend to try to follow behind their dad and stuff like that. So
yeah,
when you see my son liking, like, Deadpool and Captain America and stuff like that, I'm cool. I'm like, okay, that's expected. But when my daughter starts saying, like, hey, when are we going to see the new Marvel movie? And if she wants to get Captain America shirts and stuff like that, I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. When you can bond and connect over something, like it's just another level, you know, like you're going to guide your kids along the way as best as you can. And of course they're going to grow up liking some things that you like. I mean, you and your wife are the role models in the house, but when it's those little like niche things where you're like, oh shit. Okay. You do like the movies too. Good. We could talk about that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that shit's awesome.
Man, yeah, it's like I said, it's awesome being a dad. I can't complain. It's awesome being a dad. It's awesome being a husband. It's, of course, there's always hard times and stuff like that.
Oh, but, yeah.
You know, it's,
oh, for sure. I mean, because, you know, same here. Like, like I said, I think we echo a lot of the same, like, things because, yeah, you know, it's great being a husband. It's great being a partner. Yeah, you're going to have those down days where you're just like, if I have to fucking answer your question one more time, someone's about to get smacked up. But on the flip side, that's only a few days. Most days are really good and really like caring and compassionate and working together. And same thing with the kids too, you know, like, yeah, I want some downtime sometimes, or, I want a little more peace and quiet. But for the most part, I'm like, I love the fact that I get a good chunk of the summer off. Because then I get to do shit with my kids that a lot of parents don't get to do. You know, like, I have an uninterrupted, like, 6 weeks off where I'm like, oh, let's go do this and let's try that and let's see this thing. And it's just us, you know? And so it's like stuff like that's really great. You know, like, next weekend, and my son and I have done this now for, I think, 3 or 4 years in a row now. We're going to go to a music festival and called FYF. And it's the best because he genuinely has the same love of music and variety of music that I have. So he's looking forward to it. And he's like, and this, you know, I'll tell you who he wants to see. He loves Run the Jewels. So he's like, are we going to see, he's already seen them like 3 times. So he can't wait to see him again. He really wants to see Bjork. He really wants to see Missy Elliott. There's a few smaller bands on. He really wants to see Flying Lotus. And this isn't me like shoving it in his head. He's like, who's in the lineup this year? And I'll start, so we'll read it together. And he's like, we got to see that one. And we got to see that one. And we got to see that one. And I'm like, I'm with it. Like, let's ride, you know, because I want to see those same acts too. And I'm not going to force him. Like, this is our day to sit and fucking eat junk food and just be us, you know, just be two guys hanging out with each other. And so it's a great experience when you get to share that, like, that different thing, you know, that isn't just like, I support you in Little League or in basketball, or I go to your dance recitals. It's like, no, this is us. We share it together. So that's just cool, you know? So those are my questions for you. And so I do thank you, man, for letting me hijack your show a little bit, because these are always things too where I've been just like, what else about Delvin? Because you do a good job of asking everyone else. And I do that too, where I'm always the asker. Like, tell me more. Like, my wife is always like, you're a great listener because you just ask questions and nobody really knows shit about you. and so I noticed you ask a lot of questions and there isn't a lot of, and it's not a bad thing, you know, because it is. It's drawing information out from someone else. Like, I want to highlight you, You know what I mean? And like I said, you're a cool dude, man. Like, big shout out to you. You've always come out in like a super positive way. Now let's talk about something we might disagree on. The new Jay-Z 444 album. Hit me with it. Like, give me a rough synopsis of your review. It was a good review.
Okay, I'll do that. For those who haven't read my review on the devilcockspirit.com,
yeah,
go check it out when you get a chance.
It's a good review. Read it.
I think the album shows growth in Jay-Z. Mm-hmm. In terms of, Jay-Z is known mostly for his braggadocious cadence. He's always talking about necessarily about jewelry, girls, cars, or stocks and bonds, how Jay-Z does that, how he opens doors to people. This album more or less is him shedding his soul to people in terms of like, here I am. I'm not perfect. I've done horrible things. Yeah, you guys may look at me like this kind of superhero, but I'm really not that all. I'm a regular person. This is probably the closest you're going to get to hearing a regular guy Jay-Z album.
Because he has to shed that, like, you can't fuck up and be Jehovah. You know what I mean?
That's the thing about it. He kind of built this persona of himself as like he's like godlike.
Yes.
That's why he calls himself Jehovah, the God MC.
Exactly. Jehovah, yeah.
And it's good to see that he's realizing and I think that shows it out. He's not a young guy no more. His fans are growing up with him, has grown up with him per se. Mm-hmm. And they're not trying to hear Jay-Z do a 21 Savage album.
Yeah, no. I think if he would have come off doing what the young guys are doing, it would have been an embarrassment. It's just like nobody wants to see like their dad or their grandpa doing like young guy shit, you know?
Exactly.
But you know, the contrast is, and you hear them talk a lot about it like on Drink Chaps, it's unfortunate that the rap and hip-hop culture doesn't allow for you to get old. You know, they're always talking about how Rolling Stones still make a ton of, they're the oldest band out there and they're making all the money, you know? And rock still embraces age, but hip hop is like, you're fucking whack because you are 35 years old, you know? And it's like, man, that's young as hell. Like, what are you talking about? But it's a young man's game, you know?
The crazy thing about this, three of my favorite albums this year have come from older artists. Mm-hmm. You got the 444 from Jay-Z. You got Never Left from Snoop Dogg.
Which is a really good album.
Very good album that nobody talked about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nobody talked about his album. And the God Box from David Banner.
Mm-hmm.
All excellent albums that nobody talked about because they're older artists.
And you know what? Shout out to that David Banner album, because that album is weird as fuck. And, yes, and that's a good thing, because he said, you know what? I'm doing my album. I'm not going to try to be someone else. Like, that album is all over the place, but it's great because it shows that like that sort of old guy maturity where it's just like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I don't need to sound like everybody else. So let me do the album I want to do. You know, maybe I want to keep it light. Sure. Maybe I want to go hard. Sure. I don't care, but I'm going to do that. You know, because you don't have to follow someone else's pattern. You're just like, I'm doing my wave, my way. And that's just cool, you know?
And that's what I think that hip hop is missing in terms of its music. Mm-hmm. You have all these artists in terms of young and old, but there's no real divide in the sense where you got people right now complaining that, oh, hip hop's getting whack. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily getting whack. It's just that you're not listening to people you want to listen to.
Right.
You're hearing 21 Savage and what's the other guy named? Young Thug and all these other people. Lil Yachty. You're hearing these people and thinking, okay, this is hip hop, but you're not out there looking for the Chuck D's.
Right.
The Rakims.
Because they're still out there.
They're still out there rocking.
Yeah. You're just not checking for them. And that's a separate argument too. And I hope that we get that opportunity to have the conversation with iDrake as well, because I would love to have that, like, state of hip hop in a sense conversation, because like I still really embrace the new stuff because I feel like everything has also like its moment, you know. You know, I'll listen to newer stuff because I'm like, oh yeah, this sound gets me charged up, or this sound is like perfect when I'm at a concert and the DJ's getting you hyped up. You know, I don't always want to hear Little Yachty as I'm making dinner, but if I want to turn up the stereo really loud and just hear some, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but I just want to hear some dumb shit and just have it loud and have a beat, then fuck it. Let's do it. You know, it doesn't have to be the most brilliant work, but that's also another side of hip hop that I think is also, it's hip hop culture is also very like, they only remember the good stuff, but it's like, don't forget, there was also Young MC. There was also, what were they called? The Poor White Teens, Young White Teens, something like that. They were like a 90s rap group. Like, there was still PM Dawn. There was still fucking Snow. There were still rappers out there that were like, oh, you guys aren't that good either.
this is my thing about that also. I'm glad you brought that up. One of my biggest problems with hip hop is the fact that we try to bash the artists who are doing their own thing and choosing their own lane. Like, for example, Will Smith should never be bashed. You like his music or not, Will Smith alt music always came off as genuine.
Yes. Yeah. Him
and Jazzy Jeff have done more for hip hop than a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And you may want to call it popcorn music. Oh, he's not cursing in his song. That's not his lane. It wouldn't sound right here. Will Smith talking about fucking shit. Will Smith is what hip hop is about, being genuine, being genuine to who you are and what you stand for.
I can tell you right off the top of my head, I believe it was the album, I believe it was on the Summertime album. There's a song where Will Smith is angry. And the chorus is, "You saw my blinker, bitch." And he says it over and over. And that song has always been uncomfortable for me because I'm like, and it's kind of like when MC Hammer tried to come out with his like hardcore rap album. And it was like, but that's not your persona. You're doing this for something else. You know, like, I love your lane and you're blazing a trail. Like, keep doing it your way. Like, don't do it because you feel like, damn, now everyone's cussing on an album. Now I need to cuss on my album. Nah, you're selling millions because you're great at this. So don't try to conform because it's not needed. And it just felt so forced when that track was on because it was a good album. His albums have always been good. Even when he did the fucking Miami album, man, I love that. Everyone bumped that. Everyone bumped that.
Great album.
And you know what?
It's the perfect beach album to listen to.
And you know what? All those Miami motherfuckers, fucking Pitbull and shit like that, they better give props to that Big Willie Style album. Because that album opened the genre. Like, it was ahead of its time. And you go back now and you're just like, oh, that album is current party music. You know, dance beat, rapping over it a little bit. Like, man, that's a brilliant album. So I agree, like those guys too, like even if you do like your stuff lighter, that's fine, like it. You know, that's totally okay.
Hip-hop.
But to bring it back around, the Jay-Z album, I agree with you. I think this is the album that mature hip-hop needs right now because it is like, I can't relate to being in a club. I can't, you know what I mean? I can't relate to, you know, having the wiggly red braids right now. It's not me, you know? And when the guys are rapping about it, I'm fine with it. But it's just like something to connect with the guys in their 40s who grew up with hip hop to have something that's a little more mature. I think it's really, really, really needed. But with that said, I feel this album misses the mark. Like, I think it could have been super profound, but because of his own Jay-Z-ness, his own pretentiousness, it still comes off like, but you're still disconnected. Like, you're still disconnected. And I'm going to give you this line. I bought art for $1 million. And then he says something. And a few years later, it's worth $2 million. And then he says it's worth like $8 million or something like that. And it's like, you're still not being relatable. Like, you matured, but you're still very pretentious.
And the interesting thing about that is, at first when you said it, I was like, huh, that's an interesting take on it. Mm-hmm. Then I start hearing other people say it too.
Oh, really? See, I haven't caught that yet.
Yeah, people are starting to say that. You know, when the first week it came out, it was a bit consistent saying, oh, this is the greatest Jay-Z album. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that.
Oh, yeah, by no means.
But I thought it was I still think it's a very great Jay-Z album. But now you start to see people say, he comes off a little pretentious.
Yeah, because he goes into that zone. I was listening to the Bodega Boys podcast today, and they said, how are you going to say, what is he say? What's that line where he's like, you know what's better than spending money? Credit. And then they're like, but how are you going to sell your tickets for $200? Like, yeah, dude, like, no. You know, because you're not being relatable. If you're trying to talk about the struggles of making a family work and providing the time, which I think are all really good and appropriate topics, because these guys are married. You know, referring back to like Drink Champs, and you hear Noriega talk about how much he loves his wife and she's his rock and he lives for her. You know, like, that's beautiful. Like, that's amazing, because they're not just talking about this bitch, that bitch. You know, it's like, no, this is my girl. This is my ride or die right here. And it's like, I think people need to hear that. Like, it's okay to, I think David Banner talks about it in his album too, like talking about like either being married or wanting to be married. Like, that's a good thing. You know who had a really mature album, and I think it came out last year, was the Royce da 5'9" album. Oh, like,
don't talk about Royce da 5'9". Royce da 5'9" is incredible.
And that album with like Starter Coat and all that, that's a great concept album too. But he talks about like failing as a husband, failing as a father, and having to rebuild himself and basically earn the trust back of his loved ones. I was like, damn, like, see, that Royce da 5'9" album is what I feel Jay-Z's album should have been, could have been. It misses the genuineness. It misses that honest mark. I think he did the album he felt people wanted him. One, the reaction album to Lemonade. And two, just the like, hey man, fall on your sword for this so we can move forward, you know? It's a fun album to listen to though. I mean, there's some good tracks on there. Like I said, I don't hate the album. It's just sort of like, I don't buy the message, you know?
And I will say this about that. I think I said this to you before. I like it way better than I like Holy Grail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like it way better than I like the Kanye Jay-Z album.
Yeah.
Because that was Jay-Z just being pretentious.
Yeah, 100%. Just wilding out, like nonsense.
Yeah. I'm buying art now. All right, Jay, I get you. You're buying art. Not everybody likes art.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you're just letting us know you have more than everyone else. And it's a bad taste for some people, which is why I think, like I said earlier, like, rap is like a young man's game, because you're still struggling, you're still striving, you're still pushing, you're still like, you know, cops don't fuck with me, I'm old, you know, like, hardest time I have is when the line's too long in Stater Brothers, and I'm like, God damn, I just need to buy some food here, like, just let me through. I'm not out in these streets anymore, hustling and staying out late and being places I shouldn't be, you know? But they're phenomenal stories when they're being rapped about, and especially when they're being rapped about by people who are in it, you know? Like, that's what makes it so fascinating. But on the flip side, it's like, it does need to mature. So if you like the Jay-Z album, anyone listening, go listen to that Royce da 5'9" album, because that album is the best. Trying to look up what the name of it is.
I want to do an episode of the podcast. I don't know what we're going to do it, I want to talk about the most underrated hip-hop artist, and he's definitely going to be on the episode.
Yeah.
Whatever you can talk about. But yeah, man.
Yeah, because that's totally true. He is really, really underrated. You know, he's kind of always been considered like, he's the Entourage guy. You know, he's the dude in the background, and it's like, nah, dude, he's like, he's legit. Like, his albums are amazing. I'm trying to think of it. I think it's the Layers album. Yeah, Layers. Oh, shit, I didn't know he has a new album out now, too.
Yeah. I think it's the Bar Exam 5.
No, this one's, is it? I'm trying to think. Yeah, Layers is the album I was talking about. This one's, I think it's called Book of Ryan.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, it's his upcoming album. Oh, it's not supposed to be coming out till December. I was just looking up his Wikipedia. But yeah, go check out Layers. That Layers album is good shit, man. It's really good stuff. But
yeah, my check dude. Out.
Word. Hey, real quick, shifting gears. Have you checked out the new Castlevania on Netflix?
Only the first episode.
What'd you think?
I liked it a lot.
Yeah. I'm usually not too keen on the Netflix, like direct to Netflix, like anime and stuff like that. It just doesn't, it's always missing an element. But this one got me hooked. Like, I think the characters are like strong. The like visuals are really amazing. I'm already hooked because Castlevania is like amazing. So someone said the other day that season 2 of Castlevania is just going to be season 1, but just filmed upside down. And I was like, damn, that's funny. I was like, that's a good Symphony of the Night reference.
What I like about the show, the first episode I watched is, it looks great.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Two, it literally feels like what in our mind the first Castlevania game was.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have... The horrible thing happened to Dracula. I don't want to give away too many spoilers. The horrible thing happened to Dracula. Dracula gets pissed off. He just brings all hell up on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, but has to stop it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I had the exact same thoughts when I was watching that first episode. I was like, yeah, I see why things would unfold the way they would if... Like, this would have been, I mean, it's good now, but imagine this being the companion piece to the game when it was, like, hot on the shelves. Like,
That's exactly what it feels like. You hit it perfectly right on there. It feels like, the best way to say it, it feels like a cutscene to the game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, totally. If Castlevania was new today with this show, it would play like a fucking Metal Gear where you have these, like, long-ass cutscenes. But you would buy in. You would totally buy in, you know? So I'm loving it. I'm bummed that it's only like 4 episodes right now. And then I think very soon they'll add the next like 4 to make it a season of 8. But man, I really want to keep. I burned through the 4. I had intended to just watch 1. And then I was like, well, I'll just watch another. And then I was like, you know, I do have some pasta in the fridge, so I'll warm that up and watch 1 more. I got some ice cream, too. I guess I'll watch another. And then I just watched all 4. I was like, well, it's 2 in the morning. I guess I'll go to sleep now.
For what I watched, it's a very good show. I want to get back into watching it real soon. I was watching, you ever seen the show on Cinemax called Outcast?
You know what? I don't have Cinemax.
It's really good. Really? It's a Robert Kirkman show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Good. I guess that's his thing now. He's making all these shows. But Outkast is, you probably can get it on. I got it on. I used to watch a Cinemax. I got a Cinemax for free. So mm-hmm. I watched half of the first season at one point, and I ended up buying the whole season on PlayStation Network when it was on sale for like, it was like $8 for the season.
Okay.
And it's great. I'll give you a short synopsis of it. It's about this kid. Well, he's a grown man now, but when he was a kid, his mother was possessed by a demon.
Mm-hmm.
And she was beating the crap out of him.
Oh, damn, crazy.
And he has this kind of weird power in him that gets the demons out of him, out of people.
Uh-huh.
And now that he's an adult, he's haunted by the fact that his mother is kind of in a coma because of him, inadvertently using that power on her, and him and a pastor are going around trying to get demons out of these people in this small town.
Oh, this is a graphic novel too by Kirkman?
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
It's really good. It's kind of like an Exorcist TV show.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really, really good. Very, very well
done. Looks really interesting.
I recommend anybody who hasn't seen it to watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to have to peep it for sure. Yeah, I mean, there's just so much good stuff out there right now.
Definitely. Yeah. Man, is there anything else we can talk about?
That's it, man. I think we hit our limit, man. We talked about a bunch of good stuff. We got to know you a little bit more. If you don't mind, I just want to give a shout out to our little plug of my own.
Do your thing. Mind.
So, like I mentioned earlier, I got my podcast, Games We Don't Play, where we talk about games and how we don't have time to play them. You know, you'll hear more about like our daily, or, you know, we try to do it like every other week. So we talk about like what's been leading up to then, the games we aren't playing, I end up playing more games just because I tried to stay up later. But yeah, we just pretty much talk a bunch of nonsense too. So you got to give us a listen. You can find us on Twitter at Games We Don't Pod. You can find me on Twitter too. I'm always down to have a conversation. You'll always see Delvin and I trying to just say some nonsense to each other. Usually it's me giving him some type of middle finger. If it's not in GIF form, then it's an emoji or in a meme. But yeah, you can hit me up at that Chaufie. That's Chaufie. Same for you want to get some game time in, especially if you're a West Coaster, because everyone I know is on the East Coast, so we're always on different schedules. But you can hit me up on the Xbox or on the PlayStation. Preferably the PlayStation is where you'll find me the most. But same name, Chaufie, Chaufie. Hit me up. Delvin, man, I'm so stoked to get a chance to talk to you again. Like I said, you're a rad dude. I'm glad we got some time to kind of chop it up. Keep doing what you're doing, man. I'm loving the experience. Your mic drop is good, too. But just I like how you're, you know, continuing to highlight the community more and more, and especially different types of people, you know. So it's not just gamer on gamer on gamer. It's like, nah, man, come on, tell me about you. Tell me your likes and interests. So keep doing it, man. This is good shit.
Speaking of that, there's a certain podcasting partner.
Uh-huh.
You need to tell Herb get his ass on this damn show.
Yeah, he'll do it, man. He'll do it. I think.
Call you out, son.
You heard. Yeah, I think he's sick in Chicago, so I have to tell him when he gets back. I know he said he was down, but you know how it is to like nail people down with excuses, especially people who like that Big Bang Theory. They're like not the most reliable type of folk. But anyways, man, yeah, dude, I appreciate it. This was awesome.
Man, definitely. Thank you, bro.
All right.
Thank you. As always, Delvin Cox Spirits, and we are out.
Peace.